Okay, I want to share with you tonight, I guess, a piece by Rabbi Riskin and a drasha by Rabbi Lichtenstein. The story of the Akedah is a story that we've definitely learned many, many, many times. And it's a good one that raises a lot of questions. What I want to try to do tonight is I want to start off just by sharing with you outside the Reshbam, and then to try to understand a little bit more what's going on within the Akedah. On the words Achara Dvarim Eileh, after these things, there's a machlokas. Is it just simply that we go from one thing to another? So chronologically, you had the story of the banishment of Yishmael, you had the story, and before that you had the story of the birth of Yitzhak, and then from there you go to Avimelech, and the peace agreement that Avram makes with him, and the Akedah. And it's just Achara Dvarim Eileh is just to tell us, like, this is sequentially what's going on. So the Rashbam argues that it's God's punishment to Avraham. Avraham should never have made a covenant with Avimelech. It was inappropriate not to consult with God for that. It's a pretty big deal for the Rashbam to say that. And God is essentially saying to him, this is what you did. I need to show you who's boss. And God circles back and punishes Avraham for it. That's the Rashbam. I want to share with you Rashi, and just to try to understand, piece a couple things together, and try to understand at least one point of what Rashi is trying to get at. So Rashi says,
was Avram's relationship that he could consult with God? Or is it always that God just talked to him when God wanted to talk to him?
I guess he could damn it and say, God, I'm just trying to get a little bit more information. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Should I not? But seemingly to enter in a peace treaty with Avimelech for multiple generations might not have been appropriate. So Rashi says, Achar dvar me'ila yeshmer rotein omrim, achar dvar shal satan sheyem mekatrig v'omer. So Chazal tells us, the Medrash tells us, that when it says Achar dvar me'ila, what's it talking about? Satan came and had a claim against Avram. Then we call Suda Sha'asa Avraham. Avraham made all these sudos for his son. He never brought a single carbon to you. So Amar Lo, Kluma Sa Elabishvil Beno. So Avraham answers back, you think I did this for my son? Ilhaiti Omer Lo Zvacho Tolafanai Lo Yamaakev. So for God. If you told me that I had to bring a carbon of my own son, I wouldn't have hesitated at all. It's a weird comment. But it's not underlined, so it's really not the primary reason why. So Rashi says, obviously Rashi understands that pshat is a little bit hard to understand. So he suggests a second explanation. After everything with Yishmael, Shayimit Pa'erel Yitzchak, that he would boast to Yitzhak, Shemal ben Shloshes Reishan of Alomicha. It is important to note that Yishmael, in terms of the sacrificing that goes into Bris Milah, a bar mitzvah boy that agrees to a Bris Milah is much more impressive than an 8-day-old baby.
Did he agree?
Yeah.
He had to agree?
Well, that, it seems as though
he didn't protest.
Right.
I don't know that he was given a choice.
Everyone's in Avram's household.
Yeah, but he could have said, listen, Dad, I think it's a bad idea. So Amar Le Yitzhak, Be'ever Echarta Mi'areini, really? Yitzhak says, the Medrash puts in his mouth, with one single limb. You think you're such a big deal? Ilu Amar Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zvach Atz Mechalofanai Lo Yitim Ma'akev. If God said, go give yourself your whole life up, I would not hold back for a second. So that's Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Bet, these are not all the Rashis. Ebincha, Amar Lo, Shnei Banim Yeshli. So Avram is told, take your son. Avram says, what do you mean? I have two sons. So at Yechidcha, you're one and only. Amar Lo, Zeh Yachid Limo, Zeh Yachid Limo. They're both one and onlys to their mothers. Amar Lo, Asher Avta, the one you love. So Amar Lo, Shnei Mani Ohev. I love both of my kids. So Amar Lo, fine, God says, Es Yitzchak, take Yitzchak. So again, we seem to have in Pasuk Bet, the back and forth that Yishmael makes his way into the dialogue. And then Pasuk Gimel, Shneina Rav, Avram takes his two young men with him, Yishmael v'Eliezer. So Yishmael's present, according to the Medrash at Akedas Yitzhak. Does he go to the top of the mountain? No. He stays at the bottom of the mountain.
Well, he was told to.
But nonetheless,
he was sent back.
He's there.
But so, why do we agree to that when he's just been banished in the parsha prior?
All right, so
he came back, but the Torah doesn't mention it.
So yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if this website still exists because it's like a really long time ago. It's got to be like 13, 14 years ago. One of my students asked this question. I was like, legit, it's a good question. There was a website at the time, a Chabad website called AskMoses.com. You could ask, as there's a Chabad rabbi or Rebbetzin on call 24 hours a day for your pressing questions. I'm sure most of them were like, oh my God, should I tovel this? Or like, you know, I need like a mikvah, or I need a moel. I was like, all right, guys, let's ask this question. So we asked this question, I think, in class to Moses. And Chabad rabbi answered back that clearly, although Yishmael was banished, he was coming back to visit. Like, wow. I don't have a better answer. Meaning like,
he was doing kibur.
It could work.
This Rashi is measures of this conversation between Hashem and Avram?
All of it.
So Yaakov was not privy to this medrash.
Yeah.
Why didn't Yaakov learn the lesson of loving your children? It's a different topic, I know, but I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, Yaakov knew the story, and he might have the pasuk itself is what lends itself, because
so great. So why did
he should have said like Kaches Yitzchak? Why does he go through all the steps?
Okay.
Why didn't Yaakov?
That's my question.
We are going to get
Moses.
Next week. No, next week. Solichai Sarah. Toldos. Got one more 2 weeks, and we'll. I'm sure we'll get to spend a lot of time with Yaakov and his sons once again, and once again we'll sit there and question like, what's going on? What were they thinking? But in the meantime, these Rashis seem to make a pretty powerful connection between Yitzhak and Yishmael, and somehow the Akedah binds the two of them together. So the question I really want to try to figure out tonight is, why is that, and what are we supposed to make of it? So before we try to answer it, let's take a look at the Akedah itself. I know we looked at some Rashis. We're going to take a look at the Akedah, and then that's Perek Chaf Bet. And then afterwards, we're going to jump back to Perek Chaf Aleph. The Makoros might be a little bit all over the place. It's because they were rushed to be made on Tuesday before I left on a trip with school. So here's what we got. After all these things, Velukim Nisat Avraham, God tests Avram, Vayomer love Avraham, and he says, Avram, Vayomer Hineini. And he says, here I am. So why is it that the name of God that comes to speak to Avraham is Elohim? God is judging in what way? Yeah, but what does it mean, a test? Meaning like, as a teacher, when you give a test, there's a couple reasons. You give a test because you want to see what your students know. That's one. You want your students to know what they know. You want the parents to know what the students know, right? So it's either it's for the test giver, the test taker, or a broader audience. God doesn't need to test Avraham for his own sake. God knows already before the test is given whether Avram will pass or not. It's the equivalent. I actually would argue that most teachers, at least most good teachers, don't need to give tests either, because if they know their students, what's the purpose of it?
You allow someone to evolve.
So then that's fine, but then that's no longer, that's not for the test giver, that's for the test taker.
Can you translate the word Nisa is raised up as opposed to tested?
It's a sin with an alpha. And a sin, right?
Sin alpha.
Sin alpha.
Right. I mean, a nace is also like it's a not
it's a flag.
Right. Like it's a you want to right.
Interchange letters.
It's some visible sign for people to see. So yeah. So God is testing Avram, whatever that means. But again, why is it that we use that name of God and not Yudke Vavke? And Avram's answer is Hineini. Vayomer kachnas binchas yichidcha asher ahavta. I want you to take your son, the one and only that you love, at Yitzchak, v'lech lecha l'eretz ha-Moriah. Go to Eretz ha-Moriah. V'alehu sham l'ola. You're going to bring him as a korban ala chad ha-arim asher omari lecha. On one of the mountains that that I send you to.
Didn't you say the Rashba said who's being punished?
Right. So according to the Rashbam, you'll say, okay, I get it. The reason why it says Elohim is because God is punishing him. Okay. So that could be. So let's hold on to that for a little bit because it could be that there's a problem with that. So what happens next? Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram gets up early in the morning. Vayachavosh et chamuro. He takes his donkey and saddles it. Vayachach shnei maravito. He takes his two young men with him, Yitzchak Beno and Yitzchak his son, Vevakatze Ola. He chops some wood, Vayakum Vayelech Alamakom Asher Amar Lo Elokim. He goes to the place that God, he gets up and goes to the place that God had said to him. Okay, so he's very passionate, he's very, you know, it's very important, he does this all by himself and gets up early and everything. Vayom HaShlishi, on the third day, Vayisav Rahamateinav Vayar Tamakom Merachok. On the third day, Avram looks up and he sees the place from a distance. Avram says, "Stay here with to the lads, right? These two ne'arim. Stay here with the donkey. And I and the boy will go to there, and we will bow and return." Anybody wonder where Sarah is in this whole thing? Is Sarah part of this conversation? Does Sarah know that this is happening?
No, because. Don't we know that by the next parsha that she dies because she heard?
Well, right. So that is very midrashic, but that's a possibility. There is. I personally do not have a problem with the notion that Yitzhak was a baby at this time, a young boy at this time, and really there is a long gap between here and the death of Sarah. I'm not opposed to that. I think it makes more sense to me. But where is Sarah part of this?
It also makes sense that Avram is protecting Sarah and not telling her about this because she would never agree to it.
Yeah. So that's a possibility.
It's very specific. Who is there? Why would you assume that Sarah is there?
No, Sarah's definitely not there. That's not a question. The question is, does Sarah know about this? Meaning, like, did she, like, send them with, like, little, you know, lunch boxes as they were leaving the house? Or did he, like, leave early in the morning so he could escape and Sarah would know?
Three lunches for Yitzchak or just two?
She's a Jewish mom. I'm sure she packed more than enough food for three days.
No, he made a return trip.
Though, three lunches, two dinners.
Relationship with Sarah was, I'm not going to say it was disjointed. I mean, like, there was a lot of, there's as much as the Midrashim painted the picture that Avram and Sarah were converting all these people when they were a team, like the whole incident when the Malachim come and visit and tell them that Sarah's, you know, they're going to have a baby. Sarah's not there at the time of the conversation.
She's in the kitchen.
That's my point. There's a lot going on that's separate. When Avram kicks out the
Yishmael.
Sarah's not there. You know,
that's right. No, she's behind.
Well, she's.
She's behind it, right? But she's.
I'm not sure she's not there at the door. Of all the relationships in Bereishis, to me, Avram and Sarah's relationship is one that I don't have such a hard time with. Meaning, like, Yitzhak and Rivka, like, it seems like a very broken relationship. Yaakov and his wives are clearly very complicated. Avram and Sarah seem to have a good relationship. Do they always agree? No. But somehow, like, they do seem to be on the same page. So the question is, what's with Sarah and where does she find herself in this whole thing?
Because they were siblings.
I guess. Not siblings. They were, niece and uncle.
That's Rashi.
So
the Pasuk says it was his half-sister. The Pasuk says she's not the daughter of my mother, she's the daughter of my father.
Yeah, but it's not really a daughter, it's a granddaughter, and we say that that's like one and the same. No, that's what we have that by Yisro. Yisro, right? They call Reuel their father, but Reuel might have been the grandfather. Yeah, so where is she in this whole thing? So before Yontiv, Malki got me a present. She got me this book on Sefer Yirmiyahu. I've started reading and it's very fascinating. And I felt that, shoot, like I have to get her something back. She might be like listening and then I'm gonna get myself in trouble. But anyway, so I was like, okay, like what am I gonna get? So I went to Long Island Judaica the week before. I had to get something for whatever. And they had this book, Rabbi Rosner's new book on Chumash, Shalom Rav. So it happens to be excellent. So I was like, I should get this. I was like, it's by Magid Books, so it like fits perfectly on my bookshelf. But I was like, I don't really need another book. And then I looked at it and
it's
like...
This is a present for her?
Yeah, well, hold on. I'm going to get there. So like the week before I got it for her, so it was like, I was like, I looked at it. And my rule right now is I really don't buy any Sfarim unless they could be Chaburas. They can't be Chaburas, I don't get them. Because, like, thank God I have 5 bookcases worth of Sfarim that I... And many of them I haven't, you know, yet opened. So I was like, all right, like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not getting... Because they're, like, Divrei Torah, not, like, Chaburas. So I put it back. But then Malki got me this thing. I was like, shoot, I have to, like, quickly get her something. So I ran to, like, Long Island Judaica. I was like, Shalom Rav. And I wrote, like, a beautiful letter inside about how, like, I can't... You know, she's always looking for a Dvar Torah for her class. And, like, ugh, it's wonderful. And... But the next Dvar Torah, enjoy Sefer Bereishis, etc., etc. But then I was like, shoot, this is really good. So I was like, I moved it to like my side of the table. I was like, I'm going to keep reading it. So he has a great article. Not, it can't be an article. Then it would have been a Chabura. He had a great Dvar Torah about, I highly recommend it, by the way. And like, you could read it and it won't like impact the Chabura at all because you won't like be like, oh, I got the next Chabura. But he does say that Sarah actually, when she dies, right, like that's the whole big deal, like she has that like massive heart attack, it's that she knew this whole thing was going to happen. And she was so excited that her kid was going to die Al Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Rosner like goes like the gamut. He goes like Hasidish, Pshat, and everything in between. That's where her mind was, he's going to die Al Kiddush Hashem. And it was like such a big deal that like she was willing to give the kid up. When he doesn't die Al Kiddush Hashem, like the shock of it like kills her. I don't know. Take it or leave it. But I don't think it's such a slam dunk that Sarah wasn't part of like, that she wasn't in the know. You know, like that Avram like snuck him out. Because like, how's that conversation going to go? Like, he comes back, and she's like, so where's Yitzchak? I slaughtered him because God told me. Like, I don't know. I don't love it that way either. So, anyway. Pasuk Vav.
That would have been his 11th test.
Yeah. That would have been her test. Do I kill my husband? Vaikach Avram et Atzei Ha'ola. Avram takes the trees, pieces of wood. Vayasim al Yitzchak b'no, puts him in Yitzchak. Vaikach b'yado et ha'esh v'temachelet, takes in his hand the fire. I don't know what that means. I assume it's like, I can't even imagine it's a torch. But the wood is on him. So I don't know, maybe it's like a piece of like flint or something like that. I don't know. Nobody really asks that question. But like, you 3 days, he's like, riding the donkey with like a torch in his hand, like, kid, I need like a couple more sticks to put in here so we don't like burn out. I don't know. He has some means for fire. Damn, there are more chairs in the kitchen. And a knife. And they go together.
Machelet is a knife?
Yeah, it's I mean I don't know.
It's from
the oven. Right, because it consumes, like when you cut it. It's consuming or cutting through it. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avram Aviv. Yitzchak turns to his dad and says, Vayomer Avi. He says, Dad. Vayomer Hineni Bini. Here I am, my son. Vayomer Hinei Ha'esh Vayitzim. Vayeh Ha'seli Ola. You know, here's the fire. Here's the wood.
He doesn't see the knife?
Dad, he does see all that, I guess. Well, yeah, I guess his point is, like, we got all this stuff here, right? You know what we're missing? Like, we're missing the animal. Like, I said, Dad, where's the animal? Vayomer Avram, Avram says, Elokim Yerlo Selo Lavni. God shall show us the sheep as a korban, my son. Which is very, very wordy, which is why Rashi says, no, no. It's read like this. God will show us the animal, kama, or son, you're it. So then what happens? Again, they're going now. Yitzhak is like, whoa, I got this. Tad, like, I'm the one you're going to kill. And they still go together. And they go to the place that God had told them. Even Sham Avram is at the Mizbeach. Avram builds a Mizbeach. He arranges the wood. He ties Yitzhak together. Well, he ties him up. And he puts him on the Mizbeach on top of the wood. Now, Rav Lichtenstein, I haven't looked at it recently enough, so it's like a broad, like, you know, summary of what he says. These are his book that I use tonight, When God is Near. It's all stuff on the high holidays, right? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So where are we getting this? These are drashos that he gave about Rosh Hashanah, right? So when we read the Akedah. Like, he wonders, like, when you read them, like, these psukim are pretty, like, horrific. I'm still waiting to find someone old enough that intellectually they could get it, but, like, they've never heard this biblical story. Because, like, you tell them the story, they'll be like, holy cow, like, this is, like, awful. But, like, we read it and we're like, it's all good, right? Because, like, we've heard it enough times. And you tell it to a kid, and kids are, I mean, I've said this so many times that it's like, I love when you learn this with kids because, oh, yeah, it's totally okay. Even though they know, I mean, and yes, they know that it has a good ending and all that. But, like, whatever God says, you got to do. All right. God says, kill your son. Like, I don't know. But he says, like, what, the psukim are so horrible by themselves. You know what the Medrash does to these psukim? I mean, the Medrash on, like, Vayakod, he tied him up. It goes like this. So Yitzhak turns to his dad and says, Dad, listen, you know, you're an old man. You might have a little bit of a shaky hand. And I'm really concerned that when you shecht me, you might do shechita that's hostile. So if you tie me up when you're shaking and I'm shaking, I can't shake anymore because I'm in a full body bind. So why does the Medrash need that? It's like, those are really good questions.
Because shechita of human might be puzzle.
Right, because God's like, this is how you shecht a human being. Is it the same thing? I shecht behind the neck? I don't know. Like, why do we need that? Like, the psukim themselves are pretty graphic. Avraham takes his hand. He has the knife in hand, and he's getting ready. He's all set to shecht his son. Vaykrai lav malach Hashem in Hashemayim, vayomer Avram, Avram, vayomer Hineini. And then the angel of God comes.
Why doesn't God tell? Why does an angel come out?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Meaning, like, and I, you know, if you're Avraham and you're like, okay, God told me to do this, and then an angel comes and tells me not to do this, who would you listen to?
Especially based on his relationship with God, where he's talking with him.
Yeah, like, he's got, like, on a regular basis. He's got. Now, maybe it is because God talks to him in a vision, and
speak to him telepathically.
Right. So God talks to him in a vision, and now, like, this is, like, one of those moments where, like, the knife is practically on the neck. What's God going to do? Like, knock him out? He's going to space out and have a vision? I wouldn't want, you know, somebody to space out when they're holding a knife to, you know, my neck.
Couldn't break the rules and talk to him?
God has options.
A baskol min hashamayim?
Well, but a baskol would be like, that's like an angel. It's probably less than an angel. What's a baskol? It's like, I don't know, it's like God. It's like,
yeah, but my guess is that anything at that moment that would have happened, he would have taken pause before he kills his son. So,
and now
you say, why is he going to listen to this angel instead of listening to God? Because the angel's telling him something he wants to do. God's telling him something he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not hard to figure out why. You
sound like you've been in that position before.
You should have seen Gabriel's third birthday party. Yeah, I mean, it was a rocking, happening time.
No, but my point is, like, I don't think it probably took a lot to get him to stop.
I guess, but, like, again, why does he... Why if you're... Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, right? Who do you listen to? You listen to the Rav. So the guy, well, I'm a shaliach of Hashem. An angel is always a shaliach of Hashem. Okay, but if you want to hear what you want to hear, you're fine.
But he has a chazaka listening to Malachim, and he listens to the angels beforehand. So listen to the angel at this point, I don't think is that.
Right, yeah, but what did the angel tell him last time? The angel told him last time you're going to have a baby, right? In a year's time. So all that meant was, you know, like...
I'm saying it wasn't a brand new idea.
Meaning he's used to God sending him messengers through angels.
He's listening to the angel, but not when God had told him.
Yeah, this time God told him specifically, go do this.
Right.
The midrash about God visiting him after the meal. You know, it's like if he only... had a relationship with God through visions, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, that whole story, that's a separate thing, mm-hmm. where, like, the Mepharshim, you know, struggle with that. We're going to leave that as a question because I don't know what the answer is. But this is what I do want to point out. Vayikra Elav Malach, Hashem. Why isn't it Malach
Elohim?
Everything in this story is Malach Elohim. Everything in this story is Elohim. Now, if you're going to say... Oh, but it's always Malach Hashem. The answer is it's not always Malach Hashem, because if you look at the next sources, right, take a look at the last line, dead center, Vayikra, Malach Elohim. It can go either way. So why does it start off as Malach Elohim?
Now it's Rachamim. Now he's saving him. So now it's no longer Elohim.
Right. So then the question is, which is really like the heart of our question is, why is it that Midas Hadin, or Elohim, is starting the story, and then it ends with Rachamim? If Midas Hadin is coming, then that means that why is Midas Hadin coming? Because there was a reason for Din. Well, what's Din? Din only comes when you do something wrong. Meaning, if I always do the right thing, and I never mess up at all, then should there ever be room in my life for Midas Hadin? The answer, you would assume, is...
Well, if Din means judgment, you can be judged favorably.
So you're saying that he's being judged favorably here?
I'm just explaining that Din is not always bad.
Okay. Fair.
I hear that.
All right.
Why can't we say that during the time when he was being tested, that was like a time of Din? It was the test. That was the time where he was in judgment.
And when he gets his...
Once he passes his test...
He gets his A+, it's
Rachamim. Right, now he's not in judgment anymore.
Okay, so I'm willing to accept that.
Not just that, he needed to hear it a certain way.
I'm willing to accept that, but I want to share with you Rabbi Riskin's take on it, which is a little bit different. Rabbi Riskin says that the Akedah is divine punishment to Avram. Well, that Rashbam says that also, and the Rashbam came 800 years before Rabbi Riskin. But the Rashbam said that Midas Hadin is coming to tell us he's being punished for what? Because he should never have had the covenant with Avimelech. So the Rabbi Riskin says no.
Is there a Midah, connected Midah in there somewhere?
Perhaps.
Did offer that? Because
I don't know. I have not seen the Rashbam inside in a bit.
Didn't they bring Karbanos as part of the pact?
You mean to what? To Brit? Oh, that?
So maybe
okay.
Bringing Yitzhak is the... I'm stretching a little bit.
You don't have to.
Or God said, I'm going to give the land to your kids, and you're giving the land to Avimelech.
So I'll take away your kids. Right, yeah. So, right. So that's a possible Midas Hadin. But Rabbi Riskin says there is a real Midas Hadin. Avraham is being punished by God for his mistreatment of Hagar.
Whoa. Heard that before.
So so what does he do to her? He banishes her. Is it okay to banish her?
God told him to look
at that's
her.
Not
yeah.
Because he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, right. So he was like legitimately able to say, God said, right? My wife said Garesha ben Hamazo. And what does God say? God says, listen to your wife.
Maybe he meant the other wife. that you don't like. Oh.
No. Sorry. It says, Kol asher tomar ilecha Sara shma bekola. All right. It's clear. Listen to Sara.
Which doesn't necessarily mean it's a great idea. It just means it's a separate.
So what's he being
punished? Hashem has a habit of doing that.
What happens when you listen? So the question is, what is he being punished for? Now,
spies.
Let's.
It's not a good idea.
Let's hold off for a second.
Yeah.
Let's hold off for a second and say, okay. Well, what was he being punished for? We'll see that inside the psukim in a moment. But God is saying to him, "You did something wrong in the act of banishing Yishmael, and you nearly caused Yishmael to die, and that was an unbelievably cruel thing that you put Hagar through. So this is what I want you to know. I want you to feel what it's like, Avram. And therefore, and the Midah Keneged Midah is perfect, I want you to see what it's like. And then you sit there and say, okay, well, now it makes a lot more sense now. God is not saying to him, I want you to human sacrifice and crazy things like that. God is saying, I need you to feel what it's like to almost lose your kid.
Well,
now God
almost lose and kill your own.
He just had to banish his kid.
Right, but you're going to see when he... Right, yeah. So Henry's point is perfect. You're sending your kid off to the desert and you say to him, here, this should last you. Right? It's full. Like, where's Avram Avinu on that one? He seems to drop the ball on that. And so now God says, I want you to see what it's like. But I want to... So this is what's going to happen. Somebody's going to say, all right, we're fishing. Right? It's like which is like a theme at a lot of our chaburas. Right? Come on, really? Like, do you really believe that? Or did you just say that because it's controversial? So the answer is sometimes I just say it because it's controversial. And then over the course of the week, I begin to believe it more and more. And then if Josh Feldman is here, I'm like, he starts up with me and I dig my heels in and I'm going to show you that I really believe that. But this, why I like it and I buy it, is, and my notes are so like not clear on this, that all my boxes and my letterings to match everything up, it's going to be a hard one to figure out, but I'm going to try. The words of the psukim actually match up pretty well. And if the words of the psukim match up pretty well, then what that really is kind of like pushing us towards is, like, maybe they actually are connected.
That's the case. Why doesn't Sarah go down?
Why doesn't Sarah what?
Go with Aram to the Akedah and make her also feel what it's like for Hagar.
Well, let's assume that she actually knew this whole thing was going to happen. And that's even worse. Because
she also didn't necessarily want she was happy about it. Just wanted him to
well,
be with
this. That part I said, take it or leave it on that one.
That's just what you have to leave it if you go on this route.
Right. But it could be that Sarah knew, or even not. For Sarah, this actually could be worse.
Hagar was there to watch Ishmael suffer. Like Sarah, I mean, thankfully, he didn't suffer, but like, Sarah wasn't there to see it, you know?
Yeah, so when your kids are suffering, it's more painful to be there with them. But sometimes it's more comforting to be there with them because at least I can help them. As opposed to we're like, my kid is 1,000 miles away and they're suffering. And all I know is I have the anxiety of trying to figure out what I can do for them, and I can't. I'm completely helpless. Okay. So let's take a look at Chaf Aleph. If we run out of soda, there's another one in the fridge, I think. So, Vatera Sara ben Hagara Mitzrit Asher Yalda Lavra Mitzachik. This is the first connection, and feel free to call them out, because I can't promise I'm going to catch all of them. But Sara sees Hagar... The son of Hagar, right? Asher Yaldali Avram Mitzachek. What's Mitzachek? So Rashi goes to town on Mitzachek. He was committing adultery, and Yitzchak had to watch it. He was worshiping idols, and Yitzchak had to watch it. He was committing murder, and Yitzchak had to watch it. He was 15. Now that's not such a big deal because Esav also at 15 was doing all these things. So clearly, like, that's like, you know, in the biblical families, there was always the one son that at 15 years old started doing this stuff. But why can't Mitzachik just be? Okay, he was like a clown. We know that kid. We've all met him at one point or another. Mitzachik. But I want to share with you an interesting point that Rabbi Riskin makes between Mitzachik and Yitzchak. What is Mitzachik? Mitzachik is to laugh now. Meaning what's going to happen is, when you laugh now, what does it mean? It means you're living up the moment. Yitzchak is, I'm going to laugh in the future. Means that there is something happy that's going to come down the pike. Right now, I'm not necessarily in a good place. But I know that down the road, it's going to happen. Mitzachek is like, life's good. That's the first difference.
Other people laugh.
Is what? Mitzachek? Usually the people that make other people laugh are also living in the moment. Yeah, I've taught that kid. They're really, some of them are really funny. Vatomer Liavraham. So she says to Avram, Garesha Mazo, Benaki Lo Yurasha Benamazo, Kim Imbini Mitzak. By the way, if you want, and we did this, I think, last year or the year before, the indictment of Sarah, I mean, come on, really? Like, this pasuk is so bad. Get rid of this kid because I don't want him to inherit with my son. She's like, sorry, Menu.
Make sure to look petty.
No, not, she didn't call by name. Nobody's being referred to his name.
Yeah, just get rid of my maiden and her son. Vayera davar ma'od b'nei Avram. This was like bad in Avram's eyes. Alo dos b'no. He just didn't like this.
Did Avram marry Hagar? That they used the word garish.
I mean, technically she's
Yeah,
she's a pilagesh.
Right. I thought after Sarah died.
So Keturah he marries. Hagar is a pilagesh. What's the difference? Meaning, you're.
Doesn't Rashi say the Keturah is Hagar?
Yeah, I thought it's one in the same.
Yes, time. Well, maybe.
But anyway, that's post.
Right, that would be like the takes her back. So, but anyway, the difference, a Pilagesh is still married to some extent. The only difference is that a Pilagesh has like no ksuba. I mean, like, it's an easy divorce. Like.
Manana.
So Vayomer Elokim El Avram, God says to Avram, again it's Elokim, Al Yei Rabbeinech Al Anar Vel Metecho, don't worry about this. Kol Asher Tomer Elecha Sarah Shema Bekola Ki BeYitzchak Yikar Lecha Zara. Honestly, God's statement doesn't sound all that much better than Sarah's. Don't worry about it. Get rid of him. You know why? Because Yitzchak's really your only kid. Okay. V'gamet Ben Amal Goyasimenu Ki Zarachahu. But don't worry about it. This kid, he's going to be big stuff. Pasuk Yudalin. Vayishkem Avram Baboker. Same words. Avram gets up early in the morning. Now, if you're kicking your kid out of the house, like, please let him get one last good night's sleep in his bed. Avram gets up at the crack of dawn. Vayikach lechem v'chemat mayim. A loaf of bread, maybe, and a pitcher of water. Vaitenel Hagar Samal Shechma gives it to Hagar, and she puts it on her shoulder, or he puts it on her shoulder. Veta Yeled and the kid, Vayishalcha sends her off. Okay.
This is very graphic.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty.
It's very detailed.
It's pretty, yeah, it is. And wait a second. Vaitach Lechem, he takes things. What did Avram do in the other one? Yeah. He also took two things. Heisha the Mechela, here's the Lechem and Chemat Mayim. Vayten el Hagar. He gives it to Hagar. Okay, so and Hagar, it's Hagar is with who? Her kid. Vayelchu shneim yachdav. The two of them are together. Avram and Yitzchak are together. Vateilech vateita. She goes. What did Avram do? Vayelech. Back in Pasuk Gimel. He goes. Vateta, she wanders. What does Avram do? it ain't going to take 3 days to get from Be'er Sheva to Har HaMoriah on a donkey. Why? Because he's going around in circles until he finds the mountains. Doing the same thing. Vayichlu amayim anachemet. The water runs out. Vatashecha deyela tachat achana sichim. And she throws him underneath one of the trees.
So, I see the, you know, you're trying to make the connections from one story to the next.
I'm trying very hard. I hope everybody's buying it.
But Abraham, we've heard a few times, is heavy with wealth, with cattle. He has 318 men that he can take to fight battles.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but he sends his son.
Doesn't even give her a donkey.
He sends his son that he's really bad. He gives him a loaf of bread and a skin.
No, right, so Henry, you said that before. That's the biggest problem. I mean, if you want to know what Avram did wrong here, he didn't do anything wrong by banishing his kid. God told him to do that.
That's how he banished.
But when you banish your kid, what do you send him with? Okay, you're going to tell me that he's, you know, it's like one of those, like, The guy in the city comes to you and asks you for money, right? Because he hasn't eaten in 3 days, right? And you don't want to give him money. Why? So my parent, like everybody's parents, tell you this. He's gonna smoke it, he's gonna drink it, or he's gonna shoot it up, right? That's what everybody says. So what do? It's always like there's that's that great story. It's like Shlomo Carlbach, or it's in, you know, the Little Miracle books, or all Chicken Soup for the Souls, whatever book you want to pick. What happens? The lady takes him into the restaurant and says, "What do you want to eat? I'm gonna give you food. Why? Because food, you gotta eat it. So here, you want a yogurt? Your yogurt. You want a steak? I'll give you a steak. Whatever you want, no problem. But you're gonna have to eat it." Okay, so you don't want to give him money because what's he going to do? He's going to end up at a prostitute. You don't want to, or he's going to buy idols. He's going to buy weapons. He's going to do stuff that's bad. Okay, so send him with what? Like a big bag of food and lots of water. Why does he go cheap all of a sudden here? Well, Rabbi Risk.
I already said he's going to be big and important. It doesn't matter what you send him with. He's going to be a whole nation on his own.
All right, so Avram looks and says, what difference does it make? He's going to be going, you know what, God, I don't need to give him 2 pitchers of water or 3 pitchers of water because you said it's going to be all right. Well, prove it to me. But that's so mean.
To banish him, not kill him. There's another connection.
Yeah?
Achara Sikhim. Okay. The bushes.
Oh, okay. I hear that's good. I like that. The more the better.
There's actually another one. What's very interesting is that in Chaf Bet, Yitzchak was referred to as Bincha Yechidcha,
yeah.
And then he becomes the Na'ar in Yud Aleph.
Who becomes the Na'ar?
Yitzchak. Achishlach Yadcha El HaNa'ar.
Oh, okay.
It's not Bincha, it's not Yechidcha, it's not Yitzchak, it's the Na'ar. And in Chaf Aleph, the entire Perek refers to Yishmael as Na'ar.
That's interesting. Okay, good. Okay. So, this is like awesome. It's like you drink the Kool-Aid and all of a sudden it's like...
I still don't like it.
You don't like it.
He's cute. Well, he's
so called Beno, but, so and, really, I mean, it's 9:35 and I can go through all the other connections, but I do think it works. God is telling Avraham, I have a din with you. And I'm going to show you what you put your Hagar through, wife, Pilagesh, whatever, and what you put your son Yishmael through. I want you to feel it so that you can know where they went. And then what happens? When it's all over, both stories, God flips at the end of Pasuk Yud Aleph. He goes to Malach Hashem. He goes to the Midas HaRachamim. Why? Because God wants Avram to know that he's forgiven. Meaning, like, you felt it. You were there, and now you can move on.
So why at the end of the story with Yishmael, it's always Elohim?
Because God is still, God is still din on Yishmael. Yishmael's not...
He's saving him.
He's saving him, yes. But he's not a good guy. He doesn't deserve all this stuff, so... He's like, on a technicality, God saves him. But God is not happy with Yishmael. Even if you don't say Yishmael is Oved Avodah Zarah and Gil Arayos and Shpichas Damim. But I'll tell you that the similarity doesn't end there. Yishmael and Yitzchak are both the only people that are named by God in the Torah. God says, name him Yishmael. God says, name him Yitzchak. And both of them are blessed that there could be great a number. There's a lot of stuff going on here. If you take a look at the next source, which we're also not going to look at inside. So what happens? Hagar is met with, this is when she's banished the first time, when she's pregnant with Yishmael's brother that never materializes because she miscarries. Who speaks to her there? It's not Malach Elokim, it's the Malach Hashem. And then at the very end in Pasuk Yud-Gimel, it says, "Vatikra Shem Hashem Adoveri Leha Ata Kel Ra'i." She calls the name of God that speaks to her, Kel Ra'i, God appeared to me, Ki Amra Hagam Halom Ra'iti Acharei Ro'i, I saw God after I had this vision, Al Ken Karala Be'er, Be'er L'chai Ro'i. Therefore she calls the place Be'er L'chai Ro'i, Hi Ben Kadesh Ben Bared. Okay. Be'er L'chai Ro'i. Be'er L'chai Ro'i is a place that we're not done with, because if you take a look at the last source, what does the last source say? V'yitzchak ba mibo be'er l'chai ro'i. That Yitzchak comes from be'er l'chai ro'i. What is Yitzchak doing in be'er l'chai ro'i? This is right before Yitzchak meets Rivka. Rivka's coming from Haran with Eliezer. And Yitzchak is coming from be'er l'chai ro'i. And then he has to stand with Daven Mincha. And then boom, Rivka shows up. What's he doing there? So that's another question we have to try to figure out. So now take a look at the second to last source. Vayomer Elokim el Avram. God says to Avram, Sarai shtechal tikrat shma Sarai ki Sarah shma. God renames Sarai Sarah.
So apparently that's the third person that Hashem names.
Well, no. Meaning like here it's... Here it's like completely giving a name. This is just changing it. And also these two, Yitzhak and Yishmael, are given their names before they're born. I think that's, there's nobody like that in Tanakh I can think of. Uveirachti utopa gam natati mimena l'cha bein. Uveirachtia vaita l'goyim malcheamim mimena yu. And God says, I'm going to bless her. And you have lots of kids and everything's going to be great. Vaiprol Avraham al panav vayitzchak. Avram falls on his face and laughs. Interesting. Avram laughs, Sarah laughs, and yet God doesn't get upset at Avram. Vayomer b'libo al ben me'ash shana yivaleid. 100-year-old guy is going to give birth, is going to be able to father a child. Im Sarah bat tishim shana teleid. And a 90-year-old woman is going to become pregnant. Vayomer Avraham el Elokim lu yishmael yechye lefanecha. God says to Avram, Avram says to God, halavai. Halavai that Yishmael should live before you. Vayomer Elokim aval sarei shtecha yoledet l'cha bein v'karata et shmo Yitzchak. So God says, no, Sarah's going to give birth to a kid and you're going to name him Yitzchak v'akimoti ebriti ito lebrit olam l'zaro acharav. And I will establish this covenant with him and your children forever. So Pazachav, but you should know, Avraham, I do care about Yishmael. He may be rachti oto, be freiti oto, be rebeiti oto, be ma'od ma'od. He's going to be blessed, and he's going to be a lot, and all kinds of amazing things are going to happen to him. Shnei masar nisiyim yolid. 12 kids, 12 princes will come from him. Unetativ l'goy gadol. He'll become a great nation. But at the end of the day, I want you to know that the covenant, the one that we really have, is going to be with Yitzchak asher teled l'chol Sarah l'moed hazeh b'shana acheret. The one that's going to be born next year at this time. Even here, they're connected. Yishmael and Yitzchak seem to be connected with each other. Right, but stylistically the psukim seem to match, and over the psukim seem to either midrashically or pshat seem to bind the two of them together. Why is that? So let's go to our last source once again. Why is Yitzhak a Be'er Lachayroi?
Went to visit Ishmael.
So Rashi says that he went to pick up Keturah. Sarah died. Avraham was all alone. And he says it's not good for him to be alone. We got to get him a wife. So what does he do? He goes off to Be'er Lachayroi and he gets Keturah. And Keturah is Hagar. And Avram remarries her, and then Avram has a lot of children and kicks them out of the house, which is weird. But okay, that's what's going on. The Beriskin offers a slightly different answer. Akedas Yitzhak might have been, to some extent, tshuva. But Avram had to be, like the Rambam says, what's real tshuva? You're in the exact same place again, and you're able to do something else. So maybe he feels it, and he really, like, he gets it. But perhaps the Beriskin says Yitzhak is going to Hagar and Yishmael, and what does he want? He wants Mechila and Slicha. I'm sorry. You know what? What I did was wrong. And I want you to forgive for what I did wrong. And so, the Beriskin...
What did Yitzhak do wrong?
He's doing tshuva for his father, on behalf of his father. But the Beriskin says, if two brothers can finally make peace, then perhaps the ultimate destiny of the Jewish nation can come true. The concern that Rabbi Riskin wants to know is, can Yitzchak and Yishmael ever get along? And the Psukim don't seem to give us a very promising picture of it. But at the end, Yitzchak goes to Be'er Lachayroi, and he gives us a glimpse of what could be. There is the possibility that we could be at peace with Yishmael. And when that happens, good stuff happens. It's good for the Jewish people. And that's how we reach our ultimate destiny. Yishmael and the Jewish people will travel side by side from the birth of Yitzchak until the end of time. And that's something that they're going to have to deal with. And ultimately, they're going to have to be at peace with each other. It's a very tough one. I want to end with a beautiful idea from Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Lichtenstein says that even though Yitzhak and Yishmael are very much connected, and even religiously, you know, we always wonder, like, where Judaism obviously is monotheistic, we believe in one God, our God, the real God, etc. But what do we do with Christianity on the one hand? That's one of Avram's family. That's part of Avram's family. It's on the Jewish, you know, side from Yitzhak. And what do we do with Islam, right? Which is on Yishmael's side. What do we do with it? So Christianity is complicated because it's not so simple that it is a fully monotheistic religion. It's machlokas in the poskim, which way they go. But it's like monotheistic-ish, for sure. So Islam, though, is not a problem, right? Like, it is, like, legit. They believe in the same God. There's nothing... God doesn't have any, you know, any, like, shituf with him. He's all by himself. So Lichtenstein says, but it's not really. Like, Judaism and Christianity and Islam has a point of departure that's really important to note. And that's perhaps at the core of Yishmael in the beginning Rashi. Yishmael says at the beginning, look what I do. I sacrificed. I was willing, bris milah at 13 years old. I'm willing to go up there. And we did this years ago, right? In the Quran, it's not called Akedas Yitzchak. It's Akedas Yishmael. Who goes up on the mountain? It's Yishmael that goes up in the mountain. So, why? They're connected, but where is the breaking point? And this Rav Lichtenstein says is the biggest difference. Why does Avram take Yitzhak up there? Because God told him to. What's his hope? Rav Lichtenstein said that he, I'm sorry, I keep, it's so funny, I keep quoting him as Rav Lichtenstein. It's not Rav Lichtenstein, it's Rav Amital. I apologize. Wow. Rav Amital, I'm like staring at him. I'm like, that does not look like Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Amital says, and Rav Amital was, his bio is unreal. He was a Holocaust survivor that went, fought in the War of Independence, probably fought again in some capacity along the way. And then he's there in 67 to go up to Haaretz Zion in 68 to rebuild the community that was there. Rav Amital says that he looked through all the Midrashim he could find because he was curious. Is there any Midrash that talks about the reward that Avram was hoping would come to him after the Akedah? And he said there's no such Midrash that he ever found. Avram was doing Akedas Yitzchak. Why? Just because God said so. There is no reward. But it's the Ratzon Hashem. And if it's the Ratzon Hashem, I do it. So what does Islam do? Islam says, no. There is a reward. I'm willing to give up my life for God, but what do I get in reward? When I come to paradise after I die or martyr myself. So what is paradise? Paradise is a place that what? All your wildest and most perverted fantasies. That's what happens there. Says Rav Amital. What a perversion of religion. Is to sit there and say, yes, we believe in God, but why do we believe in God? We believe in God so that when I get there at the end, God will let me do everything that I couldn't do in this world. That's not Judaism. Perhaps the reason why Yishmael and Yitzhak have to ride side by side so much throughout the entire story is to tell us, yes, maybe Rabbi Riskin is right. Maybe there is a component of punishment that Avram has to go through. But maybe also it's a compare and contrast, like Rav Amital says, to understand the difference between what God wants of us and what Islam says God wants. I'll end with a beautiful Radak. Radak says, what's the purpose of Akedas Yitzchak? It's a test? Who needs a test? God knows he's going to pass it. Avram knows he's good stuff. Who's it for? Radak says it can't be for Avram. Avram doesn't need it. And it can't be for God because God certainly doesn't need it. It's for one thing and one thing only. And he goes, and it's not even for the people that are going to witness it. Because nobody witnesses it. The Na'arim stay at the bottom of the mountain. It's to show the world the lengths that Avram will go for his love of God. That, the Radak says, is the purpose of Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak is that paradigm. His entire life is built on building off the foundations of his father. A quote of Steinsaltz in years past, Yitzchak was not a mechadesh. There was nothing in his life that he added. He just did everything his father did to a T. Perfectly. That's what he tries to do. Yitzchak is the embodiment of his father, and that is the idea of Avas Hashem. That's what he shows. And that's what God wants to show us. God wants us to see the contrast of doing things not for reward, not for paradise. It's not to pervert religion and God, but for the sake of God and the sake of God alone. That is perhaps the message of the Akedah.